tomorrow, on the 20th anniversary of the Exxon Valdez oil spill, a discussion called Partners in Prevention and Response will take place in Anchorage at the Denina Convention Center. Stan Jones is with the Prince William Sound Citizens Advisory Council. He says the panel will focus on what is still left to do 20 years after the spill to protect Alaska waters from another disaster. Jones says icebergs remain a concern. The Exxon Valdez was attempting to avoid icebergs when it grounded and ripped open on Bly Reef.
So what we did about that is we started a project and paid a good share of the bills to develop a radar system that can actually spot icebergs in the water, which at night or in bad weather is harder than you might think, because icebergs, you know, as far as radar is concerned, icebergs are water, so they're hard to distinguish. But what we found is that enough with the right kind of radar and some computer-based signal processing, you can distinguish icebergs from water and produce a usable signal. And so a system to do exactly that was set up on Reef Island, which overlooks Bly Reef. And this system sends its signals back to Valdez, where they're used by the Coast Guard and Alyeska to make shipping-related decisions. So those are probably three of the bigger pieces of the prevention system that have gone in since 1989. In addition, of course, the Coast Guard has better ship tracking radars now, and they do track the tankers more thoroughly and farther out than they did in 1989.
A lot of emphasis is on prevention, as it should be. But what about response in the event of a spill? What's changed in 20 years in that capacity?
Well, that's also been a big area of focus for us and everybody concerned about oil spill safety in the Sound, including, of course, the government regulators and the oil industry. The biggest change is that there are far more detailed and better contingency plans for preventing and cleaning up oil spills than there once were. And Alyeska Pipeline, which would have to start any response, has far, far more equipment to do so than it did in 1989. More of everything. More booms, more skimmers, more barges for storing recovered oil, more tugs for moving all these barges around and taking care of them. And also very important, there's now a fishing vessel program in which about 350 Alaska fishing vessels participate, and they're under contract and trained to be able to go out and participate in the response under quite short notice if there should be another oil spill. So as best we can determine and as best we can accomplish, a lot more would happen if there were another big oil spill, and it would happen a lot faster.
What else do you think is needed to address this shipping safety in Prince William Sound?
Well, one of our big concerns at the moment is this. The requirement for dual tug escorts for loaded oil tankers in Prince William Sound arises from the Oil Pollution Act of 1990, which was passed soon after the Exxon Valdez spill. And it requires the tug escorts only for single-hull tankers. Now, single-hull tankers are being phased out, also as required by OPA 90, the Oil Pollution Act of 1990. And they will all be gone as a matter of law by 2015, and it appears that in Prince William Sound, all the single-hull tankers may be gone as early as 2012. And since double-hull tankers are a good thing for preventing oil spills, we'll be glad to see the single-hull tankers go. However, we are concerned that when they go, the future of this wonderful system of escort tugs will be in peril, because there's no requirement any longer that any tanker be escorted in any way, since federal law is silent on the question of escorts for double hulls. And so our council has started a vigorous effort to try and preserve the double escort system for double hull tankers, even after the federal requirement related to single hull tankers goes away.
Stan Jones is with the Prince William Sound Regional Citizens Advisory Council. He says a resolution calling for the preservation of the two escort tug system is making its way through the Alaska legislature right now. Tomorrow's panel takes place at 10:30 and is open to the public.